Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast, and we are back from VGMCon, or at least I'm back from VGMCon. None of you made it, did you?
Oh, God, no.
I just had a week off.
How would we get there?
Train.
I mean, don't say by train.
Well, as we all know, going by train is the best way to travel, obviously.
Yeah,
2 days of travel. Without being able to really sleep. Oh, yeah, that's...
Man, was that rough. But yeah, Aki, Bree, Jacob, how's everyone doing?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm all right. Of course you did.
Shocker. But yeah, VGMCon weekend was last weekend. I made my trek there via train, which was both the smartest and dumbest thing I've done in quite some time. It was smart because, A, I didn't have to drive. So, yeah, while it sucked sitting for that friggin' long, I didn't have to do anything. I had no obligations. I just had to sit there. The downside is I couldn't sleep at all, mainly because the legs involving Chicago and Pittsburgh were sold out trains both ways, and both of those were overnight trips.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to sleep at all because I was sitting next to someone else. Yay. if Ashley would have went with me, it would have been better because, you know, I could like lay my head on her and not feel weird.
Or me. You could lay your head on me, Joe.
Lay your head on my shoulder.
Whisper in my ear.
Baby.
I don't like where this is going.
This one's going out just for Aki.
Listen here, fuck snort.
Gavin.
I will say, despite the travel, the trip was absolutely worth going. I had a blast there. I ran into a bunch of old friends, met some new friends, ran into some old acquaintances I met through the show.
Nice.
It was a really good time. A lot of good music there. They released an album, or at least Super Strikers released an album during the event, and we're gonna play stuff from the album on probably the next month worth of shows or something like that.
Awesome.
Run that fucker into the ground. How was everyone else's weekend?
Busy.
I just played a lot of one game.
Basically the same year.
It was not Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh, jeez.
What'd you play?
A Yuden Chronicle 100 Heroes.
Oh. Not to give away any results later in the show, but are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Wait, is she reviewing it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't read the write-up. I mean, I did, but I didn't.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Really quick before we move any further, Thimber did sub before we went live, so big shout out to Thimber for the subscription on Twitch. If you're hanging out with us on Twitch, feel free to drop a sub or some emotes. You'll get a shout, or yeah, drop emotes. Get the emotes by subbing. Drop some biddies if you want. You could hear dropping bits. Don't hear that often because no one likes us.
I mean, that's fair.
It is.
Sometimes I smell.
I routinely smell. I actually went into the train rides with the intention of trying to smell so no one would sit next to me, and it didn't work.
And so the whole time,
someone fell asleep on me.
Maybe they thought you smelled good.
Maybe.
At least they weren't coming on to you and then calling you an uptight white bitch.
Wait, what?
I gotta hear the story now.
Hold on, before then, injury dropped 50 biddies. Thank you, injury, for dropping the biddies. Much love to you. Thank you for hanging out and keeping us company. Yeah, so what?
Yeah, I was on a 12-hour train ride one time, and
oh, so you did that shit too?
Why
didn't you warn me?
Well, this is my one bad experience, and it was one of those sold out trains, and so I had some stranger next to me, and I was just sitting there knitting the whole time, and he just like was really rude, and you know, cultural clash and all that good stuff, and he came back drunk later on and tried hitting on me, and the guy sitting in the row in front had to tell him to like calm down, which was really awfully nice of him. Like, I could have handled it myself, but yeah, basically I just kind of stuck to myself. And then like later on, the guy finally asked what I was doing. This was like right before the trip was over, and like he asked in a nice way, and he was not drunk anymore, and I was just like, oh, I'm doing this thing with this special kind of knitting. And he was like, oh, I thought you was an uptight white bitch.
Wow.
I was like, wow, thanks.
That's
so that every white person out there, I guess, just learn how to do knitting and you won't be considered an uptight white bitch, I guess.
I don't know.
I should have learned knitting for my trip, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm still going to call Joe an uptight white bitch, though.
That's fair. If only I could put that as the show title.
I mean, you're the host. Technically, you can.
I don't think that would fly well with our
next time you print out business cards. Next time you print out business cards, put that as your job title.
My job title.
Hey, wait, that should be the name of the union.
Yes. Uptight white bitch. I like it.
I approve.
Uptight local. We're good. Uptight white bitch local 42069. There we go. We're gonna get shirts made.
Oh Lord, am I gonna have to put one of those on the merch page?
We'll design it later.
Oh Lord, that's a bad idea all around. Horrible ideas.
Yep.
Oh man, also horrible ideas taking a train to Chicago. Chicago wasn't that bad coming home. It was going there that was bad because I had a 6-hour layover sitting in Chicago. Mm. And that was,
so what'd you do?
I sat.
You just sat at the train station?
Pretty much. I sat there at the train station. Thankfully, I had my iPad with me. And I watched our friend Carl from Night on Fire on Twitch for most of the morning. So I just watched Rock Band streams and...
Oh, wait, could you have left your luggage at the train station? Or
I don't know. I've never done a train station before. I don't know what the hell I could do and what I can't do.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know how much you took with you, so... Like,
I had a carry-on bag and some small piece of luggage.
Oh, okay.
I was not about to walk around the city with
it. Well, because I was going to say, like, maybe you could have gone to, like, a restaurant or something like that.
I didn't find out until the way home that there's a food court in the fucking train station. I could have gone to eat. I didn't realize. I was looking for it. I circled around downstairs. I'm like, I guess it's this vending machine area. Nope, there's a little elevator to go upstairs.
Yeah, some of the bigger stations have like even just like a subway in some of the smaller stations. But yeah, some of them have like
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of food options. They had a little market, a little convenience store that you could like buy random shit in. Mm-hmm. Like the way back was much easier because I found that food court. And if I would have known about it the first time through, I probably would have eaten more going there. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I couldn't find it. I didn't know it was there. I didn't realize it. But that's, oh well.
Experiences, woo!
Live and learn. At least I'll know for next time, because I do plan on doing it again. It was a blast.
You're going to go by train again?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I mean, because it's either that or else you're driving, so...
Yeah, or a bus.
Oh God. I feel like bus would be worse.
A bus would be worse, but it would be shorter.
Mm, it's possible.
I checked the times. It's shorter.
Okay.
Yeah. The layovers are a big part of that too.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm trying to convince Ashley to do it next year. I think she'd enjoy it. It's people ask what the event is like now that I've finally done it. It is like the early Hilton MagFest size with the current MagFest concert lineup, which is like a dream mixture. And it's if it wasn't in Minnesota, it would be so much better.
I feel like that describes a lot of things.
Yeah.
That should that should be their new state motto. It'd be a lot better if it wasn't in Minnesota.
At least we got something. Speaking of getting stuff, did you hear what's going on with Embracer?
What?
They're splitting up.
Really?
Oh my god.
Embracer? Yeah. What?
As long as they're split in between different groups, they can't say Embracer failed, just one of these other groups failed instead.
Yeah, pretty much. They're splitting up into three individual companies. Asmodee will focus on casual and board game content, and will somehow focus on eliminating the $900 million in debt they've been saddled with by Embracer. Coffee Stain and Friends will focus on indie and AA games like Goat Sim, Deep Rock Galactic, Wreckfest, and more. Then Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends will focus on AAA titles like Middle Earth, Dead Island, Lord of the Rings, Metro, Tomb Raider, and more.
So now we know exactly which company is fucked. Cool.
Yeah, Asmodee is in trouble.
Oh, they're not in trouble. They were created specifically so they could go bankrupt. That's not trouble at that point.
Jacob, is there a TV on over there or something?
Yes.
No.
I hear voices.
Oh, my wife's talking on the phone over in the kitchen.
Cool. Does your house have doors?
not from that area, no. And I'm laying in the recliner with a blanket over on top of me, and Angus is laying on top of said blanket and me, so I cannot get up.
That's understandable.
What is
Angus? That's my dog, dumbass.
Hey, I didn't know if you had what pets you had.
I've talked about him plenty of times.
He has.
Yeah, but how often do I listen to anything you have to say?
Like, I mean, when I talk about Gundam, that's about it.
Okay, is your dog a Gundam? No.
I mean, he might be.
Is your dog a Gundam?
he constantly coup d'etats the, you know, the cucumbers and the food, so, you know.
Fair. What kind of dog is it? Because now I want to know, because I haven't seen any pictures of the dog.
He's a Shih Tzu Beagle mix.
Huh.
He's a little fluffy guy.
You're gonna have to take a picture of him sometime and post it.
Don't worry. I'm gonna.
That's a weird combination in my head.
I'm gonna post a bunch of them to Discord right now.
Awesome.
If I can figure this out. No, I don't know.
Is your dog a Gundam?
My cats?
No, is your dog a Gundam? That's obviously the topic at hand on this episode.
Oh, well, I don't have a dog, but if I did, it should totally be a Gundam.
I mean, yeah, that would totally make sense.
Yeah.
And there are Gundams that are dog-shaped. I'm just going to throw that out there because I have that kind of information.
Do you own any?
I do not own any of those, no. Well, I don't
why
know
the
those
fuck have... not?
Because I don't know if they've been made into Gunpla. So I don't know if there's any model kits of that out there. But
well,
I know there
are... your new mission to find out.
I will go find out because, again, I have that information. I will be able to tell you here within like 5 minutes.
That's way too long to wait. That's probably how long it'll take for Asmodee to go under.
Oh my gosh.
When saddled with $900 million in debt.
Weird how it won't survive.
How shitty is it to like Embracer's like, yeah, we're going to split up into three companies and you're taking all the debt.
Yep.
Oh, it's I feel so bad for Asmodee.
I mean, maybe there's like a business write-off.
Maybe.
Like that they're figuring, I don't know.
But I guess we can't write about Embracer Studios anymore because they don't exist. Funny how that worked out. Steam is updating their refund policy. They will now include pre-release access time as time played when it comes to refunds. What do you think of that?
That's kind of crap.
Why?
Yeah, I understand why they're doing it, but it kind of sucks.
I think it's a smart idea. I think people abuse the refund system.
So, of course they do. Wait. So hold on, let me get this straight. So you play it as it's pre-release, and then when it's finally released, then you reclaim your refund because like you've only technically played the game for an hour or something?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. I agree with that then. Never mind.
That's what they're changing.
I thought, yeah, okay, I misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah, basically, if a game has like 48-hour pre-release, that 48 hours counts as actual game time. So if you play it for 10 hours and you're like, I want my time back. Oh, you played it for 10 hours.
Yeah.
That like the same as any other game time. Good conversation. Yeah. Game Pass. Let's talk Game Pass. Most of these are out already because we were off last week. But April 16th, we got Harold Halibut.
Right. I've heard good things about it, but I don't. Like, I haven't, like, looked into it at all.
I haven't had time to play it, but it's like, all stop animation, the handmade puppets, like, you know, claymation-style stuff. It looks really cool.
Okay.
The big thing keeping me from grabbing it is the fact that it's, like, 50 gig.
Yeah, it is pretty big.
It's because of all the textures and the, mm-hmm. like, the animation that they did in the game. It eats up a lot of size. But it looks really good, so gotta make some room for it. April 17th, Orcs Must Die joined the service. And April 18th, NHL 24 joined EA Play.
Woo!
Woo! April 23rd, Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes.
Yay!
Is that the one Bree's reviewing?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
We'll talk about that one a little later on. And then today, April 25th, Another Crab's Treasure and Star Wars Jedi Survivor joined EA Play.
Spiffy.
Nice. Spiffy. I recently bought that.
Which one?
Star Wars one.
Okay.
Didn't you get it on like crazy sale though for like $9?
No. I just got that recent. Was it? No, I don't think that was $9. Yeah, I got the deluxe edition just in the sale going on right now still. Cost like $40, I think.
Anyway, April 26th, Manor Lords is joining PC Game Preview.
Okay.
Nice.
And then April 30th, Have a Nice Death is joining.
I don't know what that one is.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that one is. I thought someone would be able to chime in.
No, not a clue.
No, sorry.
Oh, well, we tried.
Did we, though?
No,
we didn't. I didn't.
No, that's for certain.
I know. Not all good news, though. There's more good news.
Wait, okay. I thought you just said that there wasn't
all good news. I know, normally it's not all good news because games have to leave. But before we get there, there's more good news. More games are joining Game Pass Core.
Hmm.
Yeah, three games joined Game Pass Core, adding to that lineup with Deep Rock Galactic, Super Hot Mind Control, Delete, and Wreckfest. All available for Game Pass Core subscribers. That's the word.
Nice. Goodness.
Now we got to get to the bad news. Because not all games get to stay on Game Pass forever. We got a handful of games leaving the service April 30th with 7 Days to Die leaving. Siege, NHL 22, Loot River, Piku Niku, and Ravenlock.
Yeah, but 7 days, isn't that getting delisted, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I thought that they were releasing, like, a new version this summer or something. And so it's getting delisted, kind of like, that Rocket one. Kerbal Space Program. Yeah, like that.
Not too sure. Speaking of things leaving services, did you hear about PlayStation Plus?
No, tell us more.
I've heard about it, but...
May 21st, it is going to get a spring cleaning with 25 games leaving the service.
Mm. Oof.
That's quite a bit. What's going on?
No one knows, really. It might just be, like, this is when all the licenses came up, and it just so happened to be at one time. A big chunk of them have some speculation leading to if they might be going elsewhere, but let's get to the list. Abzu, Adrift, How to Survive 2, The Artful Escape, Ashen, Last Stop, I Am Dead, Absolver Downfall, My Friend Pedro, The Messenger, Jotun Sundered, This Is the Police 1 and 2, Elix, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, Minute and Observation. And then...
Yeah, that's a lot of good games. Holy shit.
Yeah, there's some very good games there.
And then World of Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 2, 12, and 15, all leaving.
Wow.
Jeez. Fuck.
Speculation there is maybe they're leaving to rejoin Game Pass to go with the Final Fantasy 16 announcement.
Hmm. Well, that would be interesting.
What was the Final Fantasy 16 announcement?
That there might be a Final Fantasy 16 announcement.
Oh, okay.
They announced that there might be an announcement?
No, that just speculation that there might be an announcement.
I hope there is, because I want a new Final Fantasy game.
I just want Pixel Remaster. That's all. That's all.
I know. Give us Pixel Remasters on Xbox, you bastards.
I just want some of the main games put on there really badly, because it's been a while now.
I just want to play Final Fantasy VI again. That's all.
I know. Just give us the remaster. Like, if the Xbox is the only platform you could play Final Fantasy 13 on right now.
Yeah.
Give us 1 through 6, and then you could play everything but 11.
Yeah.
Give us the Pixel Remaster, Square, you bastards. Nintendo Switch Online is getting an update.
Yeah.
Yeah, two games joining the N64 lineup with Extreme G and Iggy's Wreckin' Balls.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
No idea what that is.
Ball Squad. In a shocking revelation, it was revealed that Samus never joined Fortnite because Nintendo wanted her to stay exclusive to Nintendo.
Okay.
Not surprised.
This is my shocked face. Oh. Can't believe it. How could that ever happen? Like, of course they want to keep her exclusive. You they really like ever expect anything. Samus to show up on PlayStation?
No.
I mean, that was... What the heck? There was another thing that years ago I remember, like, also getting nixed because of that. Fall Guys. Like, that's why there's no Nintendo stuff.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Because they don't want Mario skins showing up on Xbox.
Yeah. The thing is, like, these companies have the ability to do that. I had PlayStation exclusive gear in Knockout City, and when I would play the game on Xbox, it would just be default equipment.
Mm.
But on PlayStation, it still showed up as, you know, special blue gear. I know Rocket League has Xbox exclusive vehicles, has Sony exclusive vehicles, has Nintendo exclusive vehicles, and they just show up as defaults on other platforms. So it's possible. They just, Fortnite doesn't want to do it.
Hmm.
But my opinion on Epic is in the gutter right now. So
yeah.
Because those bastards killing Rock Band for that right. Fortnite bullshit, Fortnite festival. Ugh. Apparently, they're bringing Metallica to Fortnite Festival, so people playing Rock Band for the past 15 years have been begging for any kind of Metallica. They kill Rock Band DLC and immediately bring it to Fortnite Festival. That just feels like a slap in the face.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, and of all bands, Metallica? Come on.
I mean, it's a high-demand band. So many people would love to get a Metallica song back in Rock Band.
Yep.
Nope, Fortnite Festival. Go get them on a platform you don't own them on.
Woo!
Where the cost is like double. Ugh, so frustrating. Let's see, what other news? People Can Fly is ceasing development on a project known as Project Dagger, a new action IP that had been in development for multiple years. The game was set to be published by Take-Two, but the agreement was ended in September of 2022. The project is looking to have cost $17 to $20 million.
Jeez.
And poof, it's all gone.
All gone.
All go bye-bye. Also go bye-bye. Bethesda, France has reportedly been closed down.
Why?
Oh, no.
No one really knows. A lot of people didn't even know they existed. Apparently, a lot of it was just basically localization stuff. And with the merge with Microsoft, it felt like redundancies. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Take-Two is laying off 5% of its workforce, totaling about 600 people.
Yikes.
Did they say why?
Cost cutting, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah. Atari is resurrecting the Infogrames publishing label, and they acquire Totally Reliable Delivery Service from Tiny Build to launch their new label.
I like that game.
Well, if a new one comes out, it'll be published through Atari and Infogrames.
All right.
Yeah. And then last bit of news I have, I'm excited about this one. Metaphor ReFantazio has gotten an October 11th release date worldwide.
Ew.
I don't know what that is.
It's the new game from the Persona director.
Oh.
The new Atlas RPG coming. They had a
big
30-minute event this past week with the announced of the release date. And then they also showed off a collector edition, which is up on Amazon. It has like a steelbook and an art book and pendants and other cool crap. Yes, I pre-ordered it.
Of course you did.
As a steelbook, I had to. I don't know if I'm going to keep it, but I wanted to put a pre-order on it just in case I do. But yeah, that's the news I got. Free, any news?
No, just a reminder, I think everyone's been getting them on Xbox. If you haven't backed up any of your videos and stills that you've taken screenshots, you have till the end of May to do so, because they're going to go away if they're more than 90 days old.
I'm still not too concerned about that. I don't know. I don't use it enough to be bothered.
I don't know that there's anything that precious that I needed to save. I mean, there's like a lot of really old Destiny videos and Sea of Thieves videos, and I don't know.
Well, you could back them all up to OneDrive. So.
Yeah, I don't have space in my OneDrive.
Oh.
Yeah, I just assume anyone who's doing a lot of that stuff is probably doing it for like a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah.
And it's probably already on their fucking YouTube channel, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're super into doing YouTube videos and you're a content creator and stuff like that, you should own a capture card and do it the right way. Mm-hmm. Don't put all your stock into capturing 30-second clips on your console, stitching them together that way.
Yeah.
You should be doing it the right way. You want to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Thimber asking if we mentioned the ID at Xbox showcase. No, they're going to be an ID at Xbox and IGN showcase next week. They're going to be featuring, what did they say? I think Vampire Survivors has something on there. 33 Immortals. Dungeons of Hinterberg. What the hell else did I... Anyone else see anything on that?
Nope.
No, I haven't.
You expect me to look up news, please.
Dungeons of Hinterberg, 33 Immortals, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, and many others. Vampire Survivors is mentioned there, so yeah. Latino Heat, thank you for coming in with the 17-month resub. Always love seeing you here. Enjoy those kitty cat emotes and the dancing milk. Who else has news?
I mean, this is going to be old news by the time anyone listens to it, but the Knuckles miniseries launches on Paramount Plus tomorrow.
Oh.
And IGN gave it an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Not bad.
Yeah. Says it fits very well with the two Sonic movies.
Cool. I may have to check that out after I watch the Fallout one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've only heard
Fallout 2. I've heard a lot of good about Fallout.
Yeah,
me too. I've only heard positive about the Fallout TV show, so I really want to see that.
All right, what else?
That's all I got.
Yeah, I was really busy playing my one game.
Well, should we get to that one game?
We could do that.
Dive into reviews, everyone ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's get to these. First game to talk about tonight, Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, developed by Rabdon Bear Studios. published by 505 Games, released April 23rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Ayudan Chronicle 100 Heroes is designed to bring players a modern take on a classic JRPG experience. Get ready to lead 100-plus playable characters through a war-torn world only you can save. Bree, tell us about your time playing Ayudan Chronicle 100 Heroes.
So, I don't know if anybody remembers a few weeks back, maybe it was a month ago or two, I don't know. I mentioned I cry at the opening of Lion King. Well, I cried a little at the opening animation of this game, because I've been waiting for ages for Ayudan to come out, but not just because of the game, but a continuation of the memories of the games that came before it. And I'm not just talking about the prequel game, Ayudan Chronicle Rising, which was a side-scrolling tale that set the stage for the world of 100 Heroes. I'm talking about Suikoden. Here's a quick history. Suikoden was based on the novel Water Margin, a medieval Chinese story about 108 rebels who band together against the tyranny of the government. Ayudan Chronicle 100 Heroes is the spiritual successor, not just in name, but because the heads of Rabbit and Bear Studio are made up of former Suikoden staff, like director Yoshitaka Murayama, who recently passed away. And it's hard for me to talk about this game without talking about Suikoden, at least a little bit, because I feel like there's tons of little nods and things that are very similar while still feeling new and different. Like, there is an Albert Munchausen III joke referencing the Stoltenheim Rheinbach III from Suikoden. I about fell out of my chair. Of course, I chose that answer, and I was not disappointed in the interaction. But I'm here to talk about Ayudan Chronicle 100 Heroes, so let's get to that. The story, always hard to summarize without too many spoilers. I have not finished the story to completion yet. I've got, you know, more than 50 hours into the game, and I'd say I just finally reached, like, a certain point where maybe I'm 75% of the way through the story, and I'm slowing myself down to do all the side quests. But we start out in a beautiful, idyllic village with windmills and flowers and lovely birds. We begin as one of three core characters, specifically Noah. We meet Sane and Marissa later. Our humble beginnings are as a member of the local watch, and we get our first party members right away, Gar, a lichen, the outspoken Leon, and Mio, a samurai lady. Each time we get a new character, we get a character splash page, which is super cute. We meet the Lady of the Land, Periel, our boss. She's the head of House Groom, one of the League of Nations. And we're going to be going on a co-expedition between the factions of the Nations, the League of Nations, and the Galdian Empire. And the Empire is looking for primal lenses, these really powerful rune lenses that give you magic powers and other abilities. We're searching for these rune lenses. Kind of like we found out in Rising, some of this is attributed to ancient civilizations, and the Empire has these scientists that have been making channeling devices to amplify runes' powers. It's a whole thing, definitely setting the stage for, like, bigger things later on down the road. But will the factions fight over this primal lens find? Will the League of Nations be able to keep their lands against an Empire looking to expand? This is a story about a power-hungry Empire, and the army of regular people who come together and form an army of resistance. This is a story about people caring enough to take a stand to do what's right against incredible odds. And I think the writing is done well enough that I quickly started to care about all the characters as I get to know each of them. I remember during one of the strategic war battles just cheering when a character had a change of heart at the right moment. And it was just awesome. Like, I'm cheering out loud and my roommate's like, "What is going on?" I laughed when the Shi'ark sang their battle cry. I cried a little when certain characters had to say goodbye to each other. Like, there's good writing with emotional motivation. It's very well done. And you've got 120 characters to get to know and love. Like Francesca, healer with rage issues. Oh my gosh, I love her so much. She goes from super sweet healer, you know, type to screaming at you, "Are you being stupid? I'm going to shove my foot up your ass." Not quite that much, but she definitely will smack something and scream, "Suck it." We've got Calathor, a lovely tree person who wants to see the world beyond the wood. We have Carrie, the infallible teleportation artist. We have desert-dwelling land sharks. I couldn't say that sentence again. There's just so many different characters and such variety of people to get to know. And kudos to them for making you care about these characters and that there's so many to pay attention to. As part of the battle system, you also get hero combos by mixing certain characters together to get powerful results. There's little field text conversations that happen, kind of like the skits in the Tales series, so you can get to know the characters a little bit better. But mostly, most importantly, we're playing as Noah, peasant hero of a peasant turned rebellion hero. And we do get some other parts where we get to play some of the other characters at the forefront, which is pretty cool. I kind of grouped my notes here into sections from here on out. So let's talk about graphics. It's
I love the visuals in this game so
much. Yes. Yes. It's a gorgeous game. And so they have I want to kind of just put this in like a 2.5D category overall. You have background animations and background towns and cities that are all 3D quality. And then we have the 2D look to our characters that's a little bit more pixely and less realistic. But it's blended in such a really good way. And the pixels are such, like, the characters have such depth to them and excellent movement. And it just, it's really beautiful. The background animations, you have flowers moving, you have flags and cats, and everything is so full of life. The shadows and lighting and wind movement is all spot on. You get just a lot of visual interest going on in the backgrounds. There is like one section of the game where you can move like a full 360, and that's on the main like battlefields between towns. But when you're in the towns, it's kind of this 2.5D movement where you can't move the camera around and see everything and move in every direction, but like there's depth to the map itself where you can move in and out. I don't know how else to describe that, but it really is just like a modern take on that 2D, you know, JRPG that we're used to.
Like that HD 2D that that I've seen in Octopath, but instead of everything being pixelated, all the main characters are pixelated, but everything else is like hyper realistic.
Yeah, it's really well done. Really good blend. So music and audio, almost everything is fully voice acted, which is amazing. It's done in two languages. You have the option to choose Japanese voice if you want and English subtitles. Let's see. The music, also excellent. And this, you know, little nod back to like Suikoden, like there's a very similar vibe to the music, but it's definitely new and original, you know, music. You have Motoi Sakuraba, whose credits include the Tales series, Star Ocean, and Dark Souls, as well as Michiko Naruke, of Wild Arms. I'm probably butchering these names, who did the music. I've been for there. This. So, just some options. I know I just mentioned you've got the Japanese and English voice option. If you played the prequel game, Rising, you can transfer your save data for bonus content. Saving is a mix of autosave and save points, so pretty standard, which is important. Talking about combat, it is turn-based combat, so standard JRPG fare. The stuff that we remember. Your character's auto level, there's a diminishing returns system on the XP, so it's a really cool system that you can tell they brought over from Suikoden, that you can power level other characters because you have all these, you know, have 100 and something characters to play with. You're going to get characters that are not powered up and you're going to need to use from time to time. So, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. where was I? So basically at a certain point in the game, the XP system, like you're not getting XP for fighting monsters that are like low level monsters you meet at the beginning of the game. But if you take out a low level character, they'll be getting bonus XP. So like if you find yourself in a situation where you need to use a character, you take them to a higher level area knowing that they're low level and they'll be getting bonus XP. The other side of this coin is that when you run into low-level monsters, you no longer have to fight them if you don't want to. Instead of an escape option, there's the allow to flee option. So, like, their level's truly beneath you. You're allowing the monsters to get away with their lives, which is pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's random fights, except for, obviously, like, boss fight situations that you're going to get yourself into. You get six-person teams. You have a front and a back row. Some characters are better organized to the rear. You have attack ranges, short, medium, and long. Some characters take up two spaces, like there's a beast named Friend and his child friend Yume, who rides on his back, and they have to be both at the front, but they also take up two spaces, so you use them wisely. You also have spots in your team for support characters that do things like buff hit points, but don't otherwise contribute to direct combat. You can also take the time to assign roles and action limits for the auto battle command. So if you decide you just don't want to hit the buttons and you just want to hit auto and let the characters do their best job, they will very smartly do an auto battle and use their skills pretty wisely. But you can tailor that to your liking, like certain characters to use healing magic more prevalently, or certain characters to fight, you know, as full as they can with their runes and stuff, or other characters to kind of have a good balanced approach. So it's pretty lots of options and strategy that you can employ in your teams. You've got hero combos I mentioned earlier. Your allies have special relationships with each other that you put them in the same party. They team up for fun attacks with powerful results. There's one attack where you get all the characters from one faction. There's like three of them that you get in a party together, and they do this big, like, powerful for the team kind of thing. And you can get the elves together, and they'll do like a really cool archery combo attack. There's also gimmicks in some of the battles, which is pretty cool. Like, you'll have, it's more obvious in boss battles. Like, usually regular battles, the only thing you run into is like a treasure chest gimmick, which is kind of cool. There's like a special item that you can get randomly out of this treasure chest that you can only get the once. So like, you run into this fight once, you get the item in the treasure chest, and that's it. Like, next time you run into that same fight, the treasure chest will be open, which is kind of cool. There's like lots of special items that are rare and random to find throughout the game.
Keeps you looking, keeps you hunting.
Yeah, lots of side questing. But no, there's gimmicks like you might need to use an arrow to hit an icicle, and it'll do like big damage from the ceiling on a monster. And so you can use things in your environment sometimes as a gimmick in the battle, which is like a really cool thing. Also of note, there's a hard mode you can play this game in. You can do things like turn off the escape option, double your MP consumption, you get no money, you can no longer use hit point items during battles. Like, if you really want to hard mode this game, you totally can. I don't know that I would want to do that, but
yeah, a lot of games these days come with assists that make the game easier. This game is the opposite. It comes with hindrances to make the game harder.
But that said, I feel like the combat progression is very well balanced in terms of you don't have to grind too much to get to the next area most of the time. Like, if you've done the missions in the story and you've done a little bit of side questing to find other characters, to do other things before you forget that they're a thing, I have like 6 pages of like scribbled notes of like, oh, come back to this area with this character and you can find this other character, and, you know, like, oh, don't forget to go back over here. And I say 6 pages, they're like small pages, but still. So yeah, what else is in this game? Let's see, you get to collect resources to rebuild a castle and a whole town for your rebellion. You get to build and manage, you need to gather people and resources to get your castle to max. There's fishing, there's cooking battles, there's trading, racing. There's a top spinning game called Bagoma. There's a card game, and there's so much more in the world of things to do, like side quest wise. There's like there's 2 different kinds of racing. There's these little egg creatures you can race. You can breed them. I haven't dug too much into that one yet. There's these sand craft that you can race, and it's like a 3D race. It's really cool. I can't get through the expert level though. I just can't win. I don't know why. I'm just not good enough at it yet. There's strategy war sequences where you move units around to defend your fortress. There's puzzle dungeons called the Rune Barrows, places of ancient power. Of course they have puzzles. There's tons of other voice characters besides the 100 heroes. So many townspeople and animals all have names. There's a person in one of the towns named Aki. I thought that was cool. You can talk to all of the animals, and most of them have names, like the cats, there's dogs, there's a penguin. So yeah, there's a lot going on in this game, and I still feel like there's a lot more that I have to discover still.
Yeah, at 50 hours. It's a big one.
55 hours. Yeah, it's definitely a big one. I will say a few bad things. I did have some issues, and I know I'm not the only one. There's a couple of minor bugs, but I'm happy to say that the team seems really responsive. They've already announced recently that there's a patch for some of those bugs. Like, there was a recruitment bug. There's some other, like, little minor things. So, I did have another, like, overheating issue, and other people have had similar issues. I don't know how much of that is my Xbox and how much of that is something else.
But I also ran into, like, fan and heating issues with the like one specific area in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just Red Throat Ridge for me was the one that was really bad. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But the team seems to be like on top of things and putting out patches, or they're working on putting out patches. But overall, I highly recommend this game. If you've never gotten to play Suikoden and you want to know what the hubbub was all about, give this a try. If you're already a fan, you're going to feel right at home. If you just like a good turn-based JRPG, give this a try. You can tell that the developers put like a ton of love into this title. So, yeah.
Well, $50, I need an official verdict from you.
It is a buy it for me, for sure. And if you just want to try it out and you're on Xbox, Game Pass.
There you go. What are your thoughts on the Digital Deluxe Edition that comes with the Season Pass?
I will buy. They're supposed to be able to get the deluxe-ish stuff later as a... like, you get a custom object and all that stuff, I will totally buy it. Just because I want the complete everything.
Yeah, so, Season Pass. Let me see what comes in the Season Pass. Fucking page won't load. Oh, do. The store's not fucking loading for me.
Oh, no.
Whatever. There's shit in the Season Pass that you can get if you want. It's $25, or they sell a bundle with deluxe content, an art book, a digital art book and soundtrack for, leave, 80 instead of 50. So you're saving a few bucks if you buy the bundle, getting the Season Pass and other goodies. Otherwise,
I will totally pick that up.
Sounds good. All right. You got one other game to talk about. That is Hidden Cats in New York. I am super excited to talk about this one. Developed by Newgard Studio, published by Silesia Games, released April 24th. Xbox One Series X and S for $2.99. Come and visit the famous Big Apple for a brand new cat spotting adventure. Relax and look around the city, and with enough patience, find over 700 feline friends. The city only gets more vibrant the more cats you find. Bree and Jacob, both of you covered this. Bree, start us off. What is Hidden Cats in New York?
So yeah, it's part of a Hidden Cat series. We previously played in London. Now we're in New York, and it has a jazzy New York sound. The main game is the New York City skyline in either normal mode with fixed cat positions and 120 cats to find. You get 3 hints for your efforts. Or advanced mode, which is randomized with 200 cats to find and special cats and special people to find. The special cats unlock 6 bonus levels. When you finish a section, finding all the cats on a building, the section will color in completely, so you makes it easier to figure out where to look next to find other cats. There's some fun references from like Ghostbusters to Scooby-Doo, Men in Black, as you're going around New York.
You already said Ghostbusters.
Yeah, shit. Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Oh crud. Yeah, there's a bunch of movie references. Oh,
yeah,
Coming to America.
Coming to America, yes. I noticed that one, too. That was one of my special people. All the things you might think of, you know, in, you know, movies for New York, you're going to find, like, little fun things to find. And each time you click on a cat, it meows, which I super love. The game has more active cats this time.
I was going to say, I thought it was when you're nearby cats, they meow.
Oh, I guess I'm just quick to click on them, but yeah, maybe it is when you're near them.
Because, I mean, that usually helps you find them.
That could be totally a thing. I usually see the cat and then go to it right away.
Yeah, I don't spend much time looking. I'm just good at these games.
Yeah. Oh,
well.
What was your playtime, Jacob? Did you complete it?
I haven't won yet. But I did do
2 hours.
You know, they don't, you remember, we're not allowed to cuss during this review. They're going to make us re-record it now.
I'll censor that.
Good job. Anyway, see if I can
put a cat meow.
That'd be funny. Oh crud. I did the advanced one, and I did it with no hints, which I was pretty proud of. And awesome. For the love of God, it took way too long for the last three cats for me to find them. And of course, one of them was in that forest area of New York City. It was the worst. It was so terrible. And the cat that I was missing, he was literally this little dot in between a building and a tree, and you could so easily just mistake him for just part of the tree line, and it was I was so mad. But yeah, as you were, Bree.
Oh, as I was, yes. And I was gonna say the game has a few more active cats that are harder to spot because they move around the screen, not just stationary. There's a little ninja cat with a turtle shell in his back, and he only jumps every so many seconds or whatever that he jumps between spaces, and you're trying to see this behind cars moving. So that's pretty cool, but also made it harder to find some of the special cats. There are hints if you get stuck. And of course, when you find all the cats, you get some big Apple music and fireworks. Between the main game and the bonus levels, like the Smelly Cat Cafe and the Metro, there's around 750 cats to find total.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount.
It's a lot of cats. Kitties. Yeah. There are some good options for people with vision issues, like dark mode and colorblind modes. So you don't have to hurt your eyes too much while you're looking for all the tiny little cats in the tiny little areas. But yeah.
Wait, would dark mode have helped?
Possibly.
Yes.
Oh, dang. I'm going to have to try that later.
So you could finally finish the game.
Yes.
Get good, scrub.
Whatever. I take my time and enjoy the game. Unlike some. No, I'm talking about Joe Bree, not you.
Okay.
I enjoy all of my 2 hours finding all those cats. I'm just.
Bree, how long did you spend on the game?
I spent 2.5 hours.
Yeah, see, she spent 2.5. She actually loves the game. You only spent 2 hours. That's not enough, Joe.
You're a jerk.
Well, I was also taking notes as I played the game, so there is that.
Shh.
I actually ate during it, too. Probably could have got it under 2 hours if I tried.
But
it's a $3 game. I know it's really hard to judge such an expensive title, but what are your thoughts?
Easy, yes.
Yeah, I'm honestly a big fan of these games. I find them to be very relaxing up until you have to find the last five cats of any map, because then you've then gone over it five times and you're just this cat's definitely not anywhere, and then you just start having to randomly click everywhere on the screen in hopes of finding the cat.
Yeah, and I had one that was okay, there's only this one building left that's white. Why is it, left? And I'm like, I've clicked all the cats that are on there. Yep. And this one cat
was a special cat. Yeah.
And it was a special cat. And he was a different color. Sorry. And so I thought I had already clicked on him. And I hadn't. So I clicked on him again. And then
the exact same thing happened. The exact same thing happened to me. And I was just this is some bull. Cause that was driving me insane. And I was just and it ended up making me paranoid about it. And then, so if there was any area that was giving me trouble, I ended up just clicking all of the cats in the area just to make sure it didn't happen again.
Yeah.
I love how Bree is like calmly explaining something and Jacob's just like, oh, there's a cat and it's a different color and it's a thing and I couldn't get it. So proud of you. Bree, that is it for you.
It took him too long not to finish the game. Of course he got angry.
Bree, that is it for you. Sailing tonight?
Nope.
No.
I am going to play some Fallout 76.
Ooh.
Something different.
Wow, what are you going to do?
I have no idea, but we're going to get probably gonna traverse the things.
She's probably going to traverse the wasteland. Duh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, well, we will let you enjoy the wasteland, and you have yourself a wonderful night.
You guys have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, next game, No Rest for the Wicked, developed by Moon Studios, published by Private Division, released April 18th on Steam Early Access for $39.99. From Moon Studios, the award-winning developers of Ori and the Blind Forest and Will the Wisps, comes No Rest for the Wicked, a visceral precision action RPG set to reinvent the genre. Aki, tell us about your time with No Rest for the Wicked.
Okay, so this is an action game with some Souls-like combat, and it is from a diagonal view with a fixed camera, which makes it very hard to do things. There's some platforming in this without the ability to move the camera, which really sucks. You play as I don't remember what you're actually called. I'm not sure if your character is actually considered human, or if they're some other creature, or if they're being treated different, kind of like a Witcher is. I'm not fully sure on that. But you're apparently seen as bad luck and an ill omen. And you're traveling on a boat, and the captain's like, shouldn't have brought you with us. And then bad shit happens, and he's like, yeah, definitely shouldn't have brought you with us. And you are trying to get to some area for some reason. I don't know. It wasn't fully explained. And now you have to fight against these monsters and other species and these mutated things. And they kill you a lot and you die a lot. And then occasionally you kill one and then you die again. It's a process. In this game, as I said, it has Souls-like combat, and by that I mean the fighting is kind of like Souls, and nothing else is. So when you die in this, you don't lose your experience or anything, or any of your items. Instead, everything you have equipped takes damage, which sucks, but that's life. And then you get up, and you get to run right back. There are some checkpoints in the game, not bonfires. They don't heal you or anything, sadly. I really would like it if they did. But there are these weird white lights in the sky that you get to interact with, basically. And you have to interact with them in order to respawn there when you die, or else you respawn a different one. Which is real fun when you forget to do that. And then you get respawned, like, forever the fuck away, and you have to run your stupid ass right back. Not that that happened to me at all. No. another good thing, well, kind of good thing about this, where it's not like a Souls game, is when you kill an enemy, they stay fucking dead. Which is both good and bad. If you had a lot of trouble killing that rat bastard, it's great, because then you don't have to fight them again. Even if there's like three people fighting you, you kill one of them and then you die. That one's still dead. It's gone. It's kaput. You only have to deal with two of them, so you can slowly bang your head against this wall until you've killed all of them. It's great. Problem with that is there's a limited amount of resources. After you pick up a resource, it's gone. You die, it's still gone. You use it, it's still gone. It's gone. Any of the enemies that die, you've looted them, that shit's gone. Have fun. Apparently, if you get far enough into the game, some of the old stuff gets a fog of war back on it, and then you can go through and there's new enemies and resources placed there, so you can go back and farm stuff. I could not get far enough into the game that happened, and I wanted it to happen a lot, because I was very quickly running out of stuff because I'm very bad at the game. And yeah, I would have liked it. One, if interacting with the save points would have healed me, and two, if it would have respawned enemies, I would have been perfectly fine with having to slog through that again just to get more experience and more stuff so I could buy healing items again. You do have a crafting system in the game. The very first bit of crafting you're able to actually do is creating meals, which are basically your healing potions and stuff in the game. Except for when you use them, they're staggered. So you use one, and then you have to wait a certain amount of time before you're allowed to use another one, which sucks a lot. Because you don't have a lot of health, and enemies, oh boy, they hit you, you get fucked up. You know, it might take four hits to kill this enemy. It takes about two to kill your ass. So you really need them healing things, and when you can't just pop them like pills, it's really painful. Combat's generally pretty fun. It's a lot of dodging away from enemies, or you can parry or block even. I personally found dodging to be the best because it doesn't require anywhere near the amount of timing as the other two require. So if you do a parry on an enemy, it destroys their poise bar or a good chunk of it, and when that goes away, they get stunned for a little bit, allowing you to get some free hits in. You also have one, so if you're blocking, it gets damaged. Again, dodging prevents that from happening, so I didn't really have to deal with that, thankfully. But also, if you attack and they block, which does sometimes happen, you can still get stunned, which has happened a couple times to me, and that's painful, because they fuck you up real quick. There's other crafting systems in the game. There's going to be one where you can craft armors, where you can craft weapons, and where you can craft potions. At the beginning of the game, you get all the items in order to get the resources that are used for these things, but you can't use any of them, except for obviously the food making one, as I said earlier, which kind of sucks because you have a very, very limited inventory. It's every section has 12 or 16 items you can put in it. So like you'll have an equipment area, so all your weapons, all your armor, any accessories are all put on there, so you can only have 16 throughout all of it. But for crafting stuff, there's only 16 different items. You can have up to 20 of each. Why they left it at 20, I don't know, but you can only have 16, and that quickly gets filled out if you're grabbing all the resources without realizing that you can't use a whole bunch of these for a very long time. Because again, the resources don't respawn until the Fog of War comes back, and that is when you've gotten through an area and are in another area or an area after that or something. It takes a long fucking time before that happens. So you don't want to just discard this stuff because you might really need that to create a weapon, or lots of these are also used to upgrade weapons and armors and stuff when you get that ability. So you don't really just want to throw them away because it'll take forever before you can get them back. So it's like a lot of inventory management at the beginning if you don't realize that, like I did, because my inventory is mostly filled with things I literally can't use, and it sucks. I got stuck basically at the first boss and at a optional side quest that unlocks the ability to craft potions and the like. Those are the only two things I can do right now, and I can't do either of them, which kind of sucks because the boss just kicks the shit out of me with no remorse, and I've tried and tried and tried, and that I'm banging my head against that, and that's not working, sadly. And then there's the side quest, which is made out of every worst possible aspect of this game combined, because you go into an area, you have to beat a whole bunch of enemies. That's fine, great, cool, I can do that. I did do that. Then you touch this weird flowery thing, and it makes your character super fucking high, which distorts the screen heavily, making it very hard to see things. And then you have to do a bunch of jumping platforming puzzles where if you fall, you die.
Ugh.
This is 3D platforming on a fixed camera angle where it's not just jumping straight forward, straight behind you, or straight to one of the sides. You have to do it at an angle. You can't fucking see the correct angle because it's a fixed camera angle. Yeah. Devs, please get rid of that or give us control of the camera. I don't care which. No one likes that type of platforming, specifically because it is hard to hit the angles. I don't know how many times I died trying to make one of the jumps in this section, because there's one specific jump that's at an angle, but it is so tight it's hard to see, whereas lots of the other ones have like these big wide areas, so it's a lot easier to hit them. This one's tight, and I've fallen from that a few dozen times now, and it's just like, you motherfucker. Because in order to do this again, you have to run back to that flower and start the whole platforming thing all over again, and that hurts, and that whole thing hurts my eyes, and you're high the entire time, so it hurts my eyes the entire time. And then you have to fight enemies like this, which killed me a bunch of times, but I slowly killed them all, because of course. And then there's enemies you can't kill because they're off on the side shooting projectiles at you right before you get to a boss who decides in its infinite wisdom to throw a firebomb that covers like 70% of the fighting arena, which kills you really quick. And they're huge and they're swinging this giant sword that covers like 80% of the area. And it's like, this just isn't fair because I can't see because there's so much fire and I can't see because my character's higher than a fucking kite, and you're hitting the entire fucking area. What the hell? So, I assume after I beat him, I probably have the side quest done, but I haven't been able to beat that either, and it's like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of what I'm seeing online is that the game is just really unfairly difficult.
Yes, it is. It is, yes. Lots of people are seemingly having problems because there's a bunch of different types of weapons, and the strong ones also very heavily negatively impact your character because they're extremely heavy, extremely slow, etc., and lots of people like using them because that's the only way like you're feeling like you're doing a lot of damage. And obviously, because they can't move very quick, they can't dodge particularly well, any of that stuff, they die a lot. I'm using much lighter weapons that do significantly less damage, and I'm getting fucked up probably just as much because some of the enemies are just bullshit. There was a few of these creatures actually, but they're very large creatures that use like tree trunks as weapons, and they can hit you from obviously pretty far away because they're huge. But they're also significantly faster than you are as well. And one of their attacks just has them slamming into the ground 3 times in a row. And I can usually dodge one or two of them. The third one always hits me because I physically cannot dodge fast enough. I even pushing the button real quick, the character can't move fast enough to get out of the way of all three of them. So no matter what, I'm going to get hit by one. And that really sucks, because they hit like a fucking Mack truck, obviously. And it's like, that's not really all that fair. Obviously, this is still in early access, so yeah. Hopefully they'll deal with some of this. A lot of people are complaining about the weapon degradation thing. They have nerfed the cost of repairing them, but like, for instance, where I am, every time I fall to my death, not even fighting a fucking enemy, my weapons and armors and everything I have equipped are still degrading. If I want to fix that, I have to run all the way back out of this area, all the way up to the guy who can repair it, run back, and then keep falling to my death. So it's
Well, as you said, it is in early access, so we could always revisit this in the future. Right now, the game is clocking in at $40. They do say that the price can go up when it hits 1.0, it is on discount right now for 10% off, I believe, for the next few days. $40. What are your thoughts on this? Is this something that people should get in on the ground floor? Should people wish list it and wait on it? What do you think?
I like the visuals, and I generally like the combat, but a lot of the things in the game are kind of currently, at least right now as it is, are kind of a lot of bullshit that are pretty just negative for the player. So I would say currently wait on this. I kind of want to say wishlist it, but it's not that great amount of fun to play because it's just punishing. Yeah. But I visually, I love the style that it has and stuff. So I'm not 100% against this, but I'm like 70% against this. So I would say wait for now. And that's hopefully fair. As they're doing more fixes to it, more balancing, hopefully I can change this. I'm keeping it installed on my computer. Maybe next month or something, I'll try it out again, see what they've changed. Because almost every couple of days, this thing gets an update to the game. So maybe, you know, this time next month, I can take another look at it, see if any of the issues I personally have with it have been fixed, and get back to you. If none of it has, obviously I won't bring it up again, but you know, we'll keep up with this
in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Next game, The World After, developed by Burning Sunset, published by Pixel Heart, released April 12th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $9.99. Set during a pandemic lockdown in France, The World After tells the story of Vincent, a writer that fled the city in order to work on his new book. Recurring strange dreams push him to look for the truth behind the village mystery. As he investigates an old castle, he finds a way to switch between night and day and start being chased by a dreadful monster, the Night Watcher. Jacob, what is going on in The World After?
That's a good question. The World After is an interesting and weird FMV with point-and-click adventure kind of controls. And as you said, your control, like the main character is this writer who goes to the small French city to work on his book during the pandemic. You go over to this castle, there's like a castle nearby that's like in ruins and stuff, and you just want to go for a walk, clear your head, and at this castle you find this briefcase that once you open it up, pretty much everything goes to hell for you. And yeah, you start dealing with, there's this monster alien thing that's following you, and of course, like, you have choices as to like how you want to deal with it. But there is also these mysterious QR codes that you're going to find throughout the game. And scanning them with your in-game phone, not your actual one, but the in-game one, scanning these QR codes will unlock these small video snippets, very similar to Myst, with like the pages that you would randomly find scattered throughout the islands. Like, how some of them would have like a video of the two sons yelling at each other. This has this French professor kind of guy, and he's going on about how there was other stuff involved. It starts off kind of conspiracy theory like, and then you realize like it's more of this just like there was this hidden, you know, alien thing that was behind it, but like it gets weird quick. It's the game doesn't like trip over itself like trying to tell the lore, but it can get kind of weird, especially towards the one of the endings, because there are multiple endings to this game. The storyline's pretty cool. I don't speak French, so I have no idea how good all the deliveries are, but, you know, they at least sound nice. You do have the ability to switch over to English, but I don't believe in that, so I don't do it. So I don't know how how good... I believe like you should listen in the original language most of the time. So I was listening to it in French. But yeah, it's pretty decent. There's a lot of I'd almost want to call it a walking simulator as well, because you are going to be going back and forth between locations like a lot to solve stuff. And one of the things I thought was kind of weird was that unlike a lot of point and click adventure games that I've played, where any item that you're going to end up using, you could just pick it up immediately. This game, it will just be like, oh, I don't need that. And then all of a sudden, when the puzzle finally calls for it, you have then to go back. And go it was get, like, yeah,
just then let me
you
pick go shit get, up if I can hold it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was just, if they were just trying to pad out game time with that kind of stuff. It was a little frustrating compared to other point and click adventure games I've played. But in all honesty, most of the puzzles are pretty straightforward. So it's not the biggest issue. It's just kind of annoying. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And this is honestly like the level of FMV games that I would like to see. Wales Interactive already does a bang up job with that kind of stuff. This was a good change of pace. I've reviewed other FMV games and those were not up to this kind of par. This is a different, it's an interesting title.
Locks in at $10. What's your verdict?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good FMV title. One of the cool things is that after you beat the game, you have the option to play it as a visual novel, which is kind of cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Cool. All right, next up, we're taking a preview of a new Mata developed by Deadbolt Games, published by Perp Games. It's releasing later on this summer on Series X and S, PC, and PS5. The tenants are going missing, screams echo, and blood seeps through the walls of Clover Hill. As a detective, unravel the truth that lays within and recover your fragmented memories, or succumb to the horrors that lurk in the shadows within the sinister blend of survival and psychological horror. Aki, tell us about your time with the preview build of Numata.
Okay. This game started me off going up a ladder. I had no idea what was going on, but they needed to get somewhere. It seemed like I was in some sort of space prison, I think. And there are just mutant creature human things around, maybe something akin to a necromorph from Dead Space, maybe zombies, headcrabs, I don't know. There was a whole bunch of weird shit going on, and this is very a survival game in so much as you need to figure out how to not get killed every 5 fucking seconds, to which I'm going to tell you, I have no idea. good luck. The game started me off with a couple healing items and a baseball bat. And very quickly, I stepped into an area and a cutscene happened where a monster burst out of the area. It looked like a dude wearing a pig mask or something. And they were chasing me with a knife. And I turned around and I whacked him with my baseball bat in the fucking face, because fuck him. And my baseball broke before they died, and they killed the shit out of me. And this happened like 4 times finally managed to start the game and kill the motherfucker without my baseball bat breaking. And then these giant spiders started attacking me, so I stomped on those, which the game didn't tell me how to stomp on anything or swing my baseball bat, by the way. And it took me forever to even figure out I had a baseball bat, because it didn't tell me how to open my inventory or equip my weapon. So, it could probably use a little more tutorial. And then immediately after that, another creature jumped out, and I couldn't kill it with my baseball bat, because it broke. And I died again. And that's just the recurring theme of this game, right there. Your weapons have very low durability, and it takes a lot of hits, and it's going to break, and then you're going to die. So good luck. I don't know what causes creatures to die faster. The game doesn't give me any hints or tells me anything. Sometimes the enemies, when they die, something explodes, and you get hurt. I don't know what explodes. I don't know what's going on. This is also another really unfair game, because you don't know what the fuck's going on, so you don't know how, what's hurting you or why. So yeah, I didn't get very far into this game either, because
this is just
gonna
a preview
you.
For now. So it's,
yeah,
it's not like, what kind of feedback would you give on this?
Get rid of weapon degradation. That is something I would give both of these games, actually, because that's just not, no one likes that mechanic. No one's ever liked that mechanic. That mechanic sucks. Everyone hates it. Stop having weapons break, especially in games where there's a bunch of fucking enemies and you have to kill them. That would be my number one thing for them, is that, because there were two difficulty modes, normal and hard, and the game was like, oh yeah, and we start you off on normal, and I was started off on hard. So I start us off on normal, actually, would be great. not that I really noticed a lot of difference between the two, because I still died to the first enemy a whole bunch of times before I managed to kill him. Yeah, it was always because my weapon broke. I didn't have another one.
Is this something that people should wish list and follow, or should we just like hold off?
I think this is going to be I believe is an even earlier access than.
Well, it's not available at all yet. There's no public build of this. This is just a preview build that we've been given. The actual release date is Q2 2024. We don't have any other further information on exactly when, but
okay. I really
so
like
the only the option right now is to either wishlist this or just walk away.
Yeah, I think right now walk away. I really like the atmosphere of the game, because it very much reminds me of like the Callisto Protocol and Dead Space and stuff. But that's the end of where I've enjoyed it so far. Hopefully as they do more stuff with the game, maybe they can get us another preview of it later on when it's a little closer and I can see some changes that have happened, and then I can, you know, tell us again whether, you know, I think it's worth wishlisting or what. But right now, I say this is a pass currently, because it's unnecessarily hard, and it comes really down to luck. Because, again, I don't know what made my fucking weapon break and what made me kill it. So, like, that's the first enemy, and there's, like, five enemies in that area. That's a problem.
We will revisit it in the future, but for now, we're moving on. Next game to talk about. Zombies, Aliens, and Guns, developed by Nine Ratones, published by Rattlake Games, released April 24th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $5.99. Aliens have attacked the planet, and they're turning innocent people into mindless zombies. It won't be long before the invaders have destroyed the planet, unless somebody with guns stands in their way. That's where you come in. Lead a cadre of soldiers who are ready to take down every last enemy in their path. Jacob, tell us about your time with Zombies, Aliens, and Guns.
You know, sometimes, like, there's movies where it's just, like, they just spell out, like, what you're going to be seeing.
Takes on a flame.
Yeah, it, like, this is exactly that. It's guns, zombies, and aliens, or something. I don't know, man. So we've reviewed a similar title, and I think it might have actually been by the same devs, except it was like 2D, except this one is also top down, but it has like 3D elements, kind of very reminiscent of like the very first GTA. Like with how they would do like the overpass bridges and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just get from point A to point B, kill all the zombies and monsters that show up, save civilians when, or not, I mean, they're not necessarily civilians. It might just be soldiers sometimes, but like you have to like rescue the people who haven't turned into zombies. You have to pick up the, little med kit, or zombie biohazard med kit things, which I guess is like the information or the samples that you need to grab. And then occasionally, like, there's boss fights. The boss fights are really the toughest part about it. But at the same time, I still haven't died in this game. So, I mean, there's plenty of moments where I was just like, I might not make it through this level. But you always just seem to pull through. And the cool thing about it is that, like, you have unlimited ammo. Like, your counter can go down to zero, but then you just have to wait for it to bullets to charge back up, which feels like a weird sentence because bullets don't charge, but whatever. And also your health eventually goes back up to 99, although you can grab ammo kits and health kits throughout the levels. Like, it's pretty generous. I mean, the game makers just want you to have a good time just blasting, you know, all of the enemies away.
That's what I can appreciate out of a game that just wants me to have fun and get through it. Thank you.
Yeah, like, it's just a simple game. Like, there's no frills about it, you know. Like, they're not reinventing the wheel. It's just simple fun. Like, it, yeah, I mean, like, the only negatives is that, yeah, like, compared to Call of Duty, this game looks like shit. But, like, you know, it's like it's like there's really no negatives about it. It's like, it's fun, you know. It's a good way to blow like 10 minutes at a time, or if you just want to burn through the whole game, like, you could do that. And thankfully there's no escort missions. Like, I mean there are escort missions, but like, your escort can't die. So
that's good.
Yay. But yeah, I'm having fun with it.
Cool. Well, it's $6. What do you think?
Yeah, totally.
Any other thoughts on it?
I mean, buy it for $6.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you could wait for a sale, but like, I mean, cheap ass Jacob's just like, you're going to probably be waiting too long. Just buy it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight.
SML After Dark.
Surprise, motherfucker!
That is right. It is After Dark time with Genesis Order, developed and published by NLT Media, released April 2nd on Steam for $14.99. Murder and mystery lead a young detective to investigate a cult and to cross paths with a criminal organization. With the help of an angel and a harem of beauties, take on the challenge of saving the world from a mysterious threat. Aki, tell us about your time in Genesis Order.
Okay, this is a point-and-click game, and it is the third in a series of games. They have a partially overlapping storyline, but each one is also their own contained storyline on top of that. So you'll see some characters from the prior two games, Celestac Epidemic and Treasures of Nadia. And they do mention stuff from both of those games, as well as has characters from both of those games showing up, so on and so forth. But it is its own story that focuses on this detective. In this, you know, he has no parents. Instead, he was basically raised by family friends instead. And he is working his way to being a detective. He is a low-ranking one that no one gives a shit about. His boss seems to have a big thing out for him because she's a bitch. She doesn't want to listen to him. She doesn't want to see him. She just wants him gone, and I don't know why, because nothing about that is explained. It seems like she just doesn't like the dude. And he is very convinced. He's like, no, fuck this. I am a better detective than everyone in this office, acts like I am. None of them want to listen to me. And so he decides there's these couple of cases that other people are working on. He's told to stay the fuck away from. And he's like, no, fuck you. I'm going to put myself right smack in the middle of this bitch. And he goes about doing that. One is there's this big criminal organization that's a bunch of art thieves and, you know, murderers and so on and so forth. You'll recognize them from the second game. And in the area where he lives is one of their big areas, and the police have been just destroying this group. Arrests been made constantly, and he's like, there's more to this. I'm going to get in this. I want in this because this is a big one. If I can do something good here, I'm definitely going to be promoted. People are going to see I'm worth it. And then it ends up being a lot bigger of an issue because if you've played any of the other games, you know there's angels and demons and hell and all this other stuff that actually exists in the world. So you end up finding out that there's a connection between the demons in the prior game and this organization. You're like, okay, well, how the fuck do I convince anyone of this shit? No one's going to believe that there's demons or that hell exists. Oh, no. So you end up working with a bunch of people who are not police officers or detectives or anything, helping you out to try and figure out the situation. There's a lot of point-and-click mechanics in this. You know, you have to find items to use them. Thankfully, most of them don't disappear from your inventory because you have a lot of different places to use lots of items. There's a lot of things to collect, and there's a lot of sex to be had. So much sex. I think there's like 12 different women in this that you get to cozy up to. They act as your harem, but they are not your harem. Basically, they're just in it for some fun, but there's not really a romantic connection, which is very different from the other NTL games, where the first two, they very much were a harem. It was all a romantic thing between the main character and all the other girls. This one, it's not, which is very different and was very odd to me. And yeah, it's... It took me a little over 40 hours to beat this game. I think it took me like 43.7 hours or some shit like that. So, yeah. I really like it. There's plenty of puzzles to be had. Most of them are like block-pushing type puzzles to get to different things that you need to collect and so on and so forth. The rest of it is just point-and-click type puzzles where you just have to figure out what item to use where. It's a pretty fun little story. I really like the characters. The girls are all very attractive. This focuses a bunch more on MILFs. So if you have a thing for MILFs, this is your game, yo.
Hey, what? I was going to say, like, somebody, this got interesting all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're, like, in the harem, four or five of them are MILFs. So... Yeah.
Very nice.
And yeah, I think that's a majority of what the game's about and stuff.
It's 15 bucks. What's your verdict?
I totally think it's worth it. I think that NTL is really good at animations, and this might get us demonetized, but cum shots and stuff, he's very good at making all that look really nice. So yeah, I'm very for this game. I think it's real good, and I think people will like it.
It's a beautiful cum shot, dear me. It is a just lots a luscious of animations cum shot. Don't
you couldn't
don't
like
do
I mean
cum well? Okay, it's 3D animated. It's not real, so it's very hard to do cum right. Okay,
you know, I wonder if like I mean if like saying cum and cum shots is going to get this episode demonetized. Maybe like we need to just start exploring like other terms. Like, what about like semen emissions?
The thing is, I don't care about getting demonetized because I demonetized us on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Voluntarily, I removed all monetization from.
Yeah. All done.
Yeah, lots of 3D animated stuff like this. They either don't show jizz or it looks really bad. NTL not only shows it.
It's but, cum like, talk with the SML podcast.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. But you actually see it in motion. Lots of games like this don't show it in motion at all. Because it is very hard to get the liquid physics and shit correctly. Of course. So, and NTL does it really well. So, yeah.
All right, so... How much jizz is getting shot? Would you say is it copious amounts? Is it like Bukkake levels? Like,
oh god, it's sometimes it's Bukkake levels from one guy. Usually it's not quite that much.
Huh.
Okay. It is a decent amount, more than I think is probably normal for actual people.
Are you eating food?
Yes, I'm eating a Pop-Tart.
God damn it, Aki.
Why are you doing it during the show?
You couldn't have fucking waited. You couldn't have waited during one of my reviews. No, you had to eat a Pop-Tart during your own damn review. You are the worst.
I was also eating a Pop-Tart during yours, too, but...
Jesus Christ. So, this is...
On that note, music for this episode, we're going to play...
Hey, whoa. Hold on. Yo! I had a question about this game. All right, so this is Steam, right?
Yes.
Okay, so not available on Xbox.
Oh, God, no.
Why the fuck do you think this would ever be on Xbox?
Just because I wanted to... I just wanted to say that, to be honest.
Yeah, this is way too explicit for Xbox.
So
Aki, you can technically also find it on Itch.io, probably.
Well, yeah, probably. So, Aki, do you recommend this game? Because I don't think Joe ever actually asked.
I did ask. Yes,
100%.
Oh, okay, cool. Wait, he did ask, or...
Yes, and then I went into the conversation about jizz.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Did she eat during reviews? You don't pay attention.
Well, I don't just pay attention, period. So, yeah. I mean...
So, yeah. Music this episode, we're going to play some music from Super Strikers off of the Giants album released through Brave Wave Productions. We're going to check out the song Adam Dragon from Panzer Dragoon Saga. They played this at VGMCon, and it was freaking awesome. The entire Super Striker show at VGMCon was freaking awesome. So we're gonna rock out to that. What do you think of that?
Pinky bananas.
Yeah. All right.
Dang. I was just gonna say that sounds pretty sexy, and then Aki came out of there with kinky bananas. That's pretty good.
I got some banana flavored gummies from FYE for $1.99 a bag in there.
Okay. Unexpected.
Yeah. Said bananas. So
that shit is bananas.
That shit is bananas. Big thanks to you two for being here doing your thing. Big thanks to Bree for coming on. Next week we are looking to have a big old party cast going on. But we will see how things turn out. Does anyone have any final words before we end the show?
Oh, Joe, what was that word that I found yesterday that you wanted or that you hated so much? What was it? Ah, swaffelin. Everyone needs to go look that up. SWAFFELEN. Swaffelin.